Today's the day Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner has warned us about, the day we reach our $14.3 trillion debt ceiling. But he's managed to keep the government funding and avoid default by siphoning money from federal retiree programs to pay the government's bills. You know this. If anyone in the private sector did this, they'd be thrown in jail. Isn't this the kind of behavior that has led us to this near fiscal ruin? Here to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business anchor and my colleague Lori Rothman, Newsday columnist Ellis Hennekin, and Reason Magazine senior editor Catherine Mangu Warren. Ellis, to you first. Is it right for the government to break the same laws that it would put us in jail if we broke?
Well, it's not really the best thing to do, let's be honest. Now, I'm not quite as alarmed as some are about this, and maybe this is because I've lived in a situation that I've had some little cash flow crunches, and I know I'm looking around for that bucket with the change in it, and going underneath the cushion.
Yeah, but you know
couch,
that if you owned Hennekin and Company,
yes,
and you put money aside for the pension funds of your employees, mm-hmm, and then you borrowed that for a rainy day, you'd go to jail for it. You'd at least be prosecuted.
The government would look askance at that. Yes, you're right.
Are you surprised, Catherine Mangu Warren, that the government is doing this, breaking its own laws to make itself look good?
Not in the slightest. You know, in made-for-TV movies, when things are about to really get bad in an addiction story, there's always this moment where the addict steals money from his grandmother's purse. And I think, budgetarily, we've kind of hit that moment right now. And things are just going to get really ugly from here on out.
Are you surprised that the government has resorted to this? Or let me say it differently. Is this Tim Geithner's way of saying, I can delay the sky from falling until August 2nd, when the Congress is on vacation, by the way, another issue for another time?
Oh, I 100% agree. If I were a federal worker, I'd be infuriated. I mean, the government is basically, Geithner and the administration is saying, okay, we're going to push this off. We have this deadline of August 2nd till we really have to make a decision on the debt ceiling. Just raise the debt ceiling and call it a day. Then they don't have to worry about this fancy accounting or shifting money from here to there.
You know, some of the government is unionized. Why aren't there outcries over this? Or do they all believe that this is just an accounting gimmick and the debt ceiling will eventually be raised and the government will borrow money and replenish those funds?
Yes, yes, and yes. Listen, the reason that this is allowed is because the alternatives are all worse. You don't really want to shut the government down. You don't really want to renege on the government's obligations. And so you start saying, well, okay, where are we going to get the money? What else are we going to do? And in the end, people hold their nose and say, well, okay, we'll look for it.
Catherine, what are the chances that the Republicans will stick to their guns and remember why they're the majority party in the House of Representatives and say no to the president, you can't raise the debt ceiling, or will John Boehner cut some kind of a deal that Ellis will like and Lori and you and I won't and most of the people watching us won't? Ellis is always
saying, hold on a second.
Slim to none. Yeah. I'm going to go with slim to none there. I mean, in fact, if we want to talk about a legitimate place to look for cuts, federal government worker benefits would be a good place to start. But doing it with this sort of sneaky backdoor accounting trick is missing the point.
And promising to pay them back.
Right. I mean, what good is that kind of a promise?
Exactly.
All right. I want to switch gears because there's some shenanigans going on. Earlier this month, Nevada Republican Senator John Ensign resigned for reasons we don't have to get into here.
Oh, come on.
Prosecuted.
Let's get into it.
Come on.
All right. So it's a little snarky. I know you want to talk to him, but we'll do it later. But he left a budget committee and a finance committee vacancy. Tea Party stalwart South Carolina Republican Jim DeMint wanted the Finance Committee slot, but was not picked by Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Then Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul, another Tea Party favorite, wanted the Budget Committee seat. He was not picked by the Minority Leader. So is the old guard trying to keep the Tea Party-backed candidates at bay, Ellis Hennekin?
Of course.
The Democrats analyze what the Republicans are doing.
Listen, of course, there is a fundamental cultural split inside the Republican Party right now. They're the old kind of traditional country club Republicans, and Senator McConnell example, and they're these Tea Party newbies, and they can't stand each other. So, of course, they're going to be at war. This is just a little flare-up, but it's going to get ugly.
Is this in the weeds, Catherine, that they're worried about who has what seat on a committee, or is it profound? Is there a major divide in the Republican Party, as Ellis seems to think, and I tend to agree with him, between the old line big government Republicans and the more libertarian Tea Party or backed small government Republicans?
The divide is between people who are talking about cutting the budget using the word billion and people who are talking about cutting the budget using the word trillion. And I would argue that only the people who are using the word trillion are serious. Unfortunately, those people are right now not holding positions of power and are being kept out of even positions of power that they're due based on the rules of of seniority and these sort of fiddly procedural things that otherwise only Washingtonians care about.
Lori, does Wall Street, does the business community, does the financial community follow these things? Are they really more interested in the free market, or are they interested in what they can get from the government?
Free market tax structure. That's what Wall Street cares about. We've had, you mentioned John Ensign today. We had Dominic Strauss-Kahn, right, arrested on rape charges, being held without bail. Markets shrugged it all off. They really just care about the bottom line and what, again, corporations are going to be facing here as we enter presidential election and so on and so forth.
John Boehner, does Mitch McConnell, do they want these divides on their hands? Wouldn't it actually have been politically wiser to have given somebody like Jim DeMint the seat that he wanted and Rand Paul the seat that he wanted?
Well, that's the line Boehner has to walk. He has to throw them enough bones so that they placate it and they'll vote with him on the stuff he cares about, but he doesn't really want to hear too much from them. Let's be honest.
That's fair.
All right, I want to switch gears just a little bit. Newt Gingrich over the weekend says he's in favor of the individual mandate, the core part of Obamacare that Hennekin likes. He's out of step with everybody in the building, and the three of us realize is an unconstitutional extension of Congress's power. Does he stand a prayer of a vote in the Republican primary, Catherine, with an attitude like that?
You know, it makes me sad to see what looks like Newt positioning himself so that he can be considered a reasonable candidate. And he just winds up sacrificing the only thing that made him appealing in the first place, which is that he's kind of a nut, and he says stuff that no one else is willing to say.
I mean, but in a Republican primary, can anybody actually say the individual mandate, the core of Obamacare, is a good thing? Is there anything that unites Republicans more than wanting to get rid of Obamacare?
Well, that's a great point. Yeah, Obamacare, I mean, is it even constitutional, right? We've gone back and forth on this. Most people say it's not. You can't force people to buy health care.
All right. Gingrich, why is he doing this?
Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, pretty soon half the Republican field is going to be in favor of this stuff.
Mike Huckabee, Donald Trump, pretty soon it'll be Gary Johnson and Ron Paul, the only two that are left. But to be serious for a minute, yes. Put yourself inside, because you've been analyzing politics on the national level for your professional career, inside Gingrich's head, what would he think he's gaining? He needs the Republican nomination before he can run nationwide by saying something like this.
You know, honestly, I don't think the political calculation makes sense from his point of view. He does like the independent thinking. Some people might even think he's a little wacky from time to time. To me, that's the fun part, and I just don't think the political calculation is going to work.
Unelectably wacky.
Unelectably wacky. Where does it go from here? Does this actually help libertarians like Ron Paul and Gary Johnson, Catherine, when mainstream Republicans either leave, like Huckabee and Trump, or say things that are so out of line nobody would vote for them, like Gingrich or Romney?
Well, the name that hasn't come up yet is Mitch Daniels, and I think there's actually, maybe all of this mess shake out with a Pawlenty-Daniels matchup. And the fact is, Daniels isn't bad from a libertarian point of view.
Okay, so Catherine Mangan-Ward, Ellis Hennekin, Lori Rothman, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure.